Anyone wants to see me? Give me 1 second. Okay, give me 1 minute, and then we will begin. Okay. All right, everybody. Happy Yom Ha'atzmaut. Hear me? And this is a unique opportunity to really learn Torah on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So even though usually we spend the day, usually we go ahead and we spend the day. I would say going ahead to spend the day usually. he says, okay, just a second. Let me see.
Better? You want a better now, everybody? Is that better? Is it better, easier to hear me now? Okay, hold on a second. Let me just move a little bit. The hearing is better. Okay. Is that a little better? Is it a little better? Worse. Give me a second. Just give me a minute. Actually, I have. Okay. Fine. Okay, very good. Okay. So that's not a problem. Let me know, and we'll start. So the Yom Ha'atzmaut is a day when everybody Yom Ha'atzmaut is a day when everyone is celebrates or like you're supposed to celebrate. And I want to talk about what is special, not necessarily about Yom Ha'atzmaut, but what I'd like to do is I would like to speak about what is special about Medinas Yisrael and what we're supposed to think and what we're supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. That is the big question. The truth is, I remember there are people who go ahead and they question. And they say, well, how come people don't do this and people don't do that? I was just looking around yesterday and said a lot of the rabbis are afraid of the religious, and for that reason, they don't even have to say Shachianu. They don't go ahead and they don't say Halva Bracha or so many things. And the truth is that these are all halacha questions. And for example, my father told me, who he said Halal every single year, not to say a Bracha on Halal. And it was halachic decision, and it had nothing to do with what his outlook in Medinas Yisrael was. He was very positive about it. He felt it was important to celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's a halachic decision, and everyone really has to see the bracha of Yom Ha'atzmaut. Everyone has to see the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, and everyone has to see the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The question is how we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut. So that in itself is a different question. What I'd like to really first talk about, and the first idea I saw quoted by Rav Schechter, and then get into the rest of the shiur, is to understand that we have to realize first what Yom Ha'atzmaut is and what it's not. And that's very important. That a lot of times we get confused and garbled messages, like I guess the shiur was at the very beginning, exactly what Yom Ha'atzmaut is about. We have to understand what it's about. You know, when we go to shul, so and usually the kohen gets the first aliyah, the kiddushto, and then a levi gets the second aliyah, and then Yisrael gets the third aliyah. If there is no Levi in Shul, halacha is the Kohen supposed to get the first two aliyot. All right? Now, if there is a Levi in Shul, Levi get the second aliyah. What happens if there's no Kohen in Shul? So then if you walk into most Shuls, the Gavel will go V'yazer V'yogay, V'sigala V'siro'er, and the Gabbai at that point will either call up a Yisrael, Yisrael can come Kohen, or a Levi can come Kohen. Okay, and that is the Pesach of the Ramah, as you'll see in source number three. Source number three says in Ein Kohen Beit HaKnesset, so the Mechaber says, Korei Yisrael v'mkom Kohen. You go ahead and call a Kohen. You go ahead and call a Kohen, a Levi, and a Yisrael instead of a Kohen. And you don't have a Levi come up after the Yisrael. He says, however, the Ramah adds in, Rishon yuchal lalos. The Ramah adds, a Levi can be a Rishon. A Levi cannot be a Sheni if the first one is Yisrael. However, the Mechaber seems to imply, halacha is you go ahead and you call a Yisrael first. If there's no Kohen in Shul, you go ahead and you call a Yisrael first. You don't call a Levi. And the truth is, it seems that that's a machlokas Rishonim. If you look at source number one, it's a Gemara Maseches Gittin. The Gemara Maseches Gittin says, Amar Abayi Natinu, we hold, ain't Sham Kohen, there's no Kohen, Sparda Chavila. So then the whole train, the chain, gets separated, and there's no reason to call a Levi for Rishon. No reason, there's no Kohen, and we don't give any extra special a kavo to the Levi, Sparda Chavila. So what does it mean, Sparda Chavila? If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains in source number two, Nifsaka Kesher, the knot has sort of been untied. Ibeid HaLevi has kavod, the Levi lost his kavod. Why the Levi lose his kavod? Because since there's no Kohen, you don't call a Levi at all. He says, and he quotes Mori HaZakein, Mori Yitzchak of Yehuda, his Rabbeim and Rav Amram go. But then he says, I will be Talmidei Mori Yitzchak a Levi. They said, what it means is, you don't have to call a Levi, but you can call a Levi. So there are two shitos in Rashi. The first shit in Rashi is, if there's no Yisrael Kohen, you call Yisrael, no Levi at all. And the second sheet in Rashi is, if you go ahead and there's no Kohen, you can call Yisrael or a Levi for the first Aliyah. But if you call a Yisrael for the first Aliyah, a Levi does not get the second Aliyah. The Minog in almost all Ashkenazi shuls, as I'm aware of, is like the Ramah, that if there's no Kohen, you can go ahead and you're allowed, you're able to go ahead, you're able to call a Levi or a Yisrael. However, I'm not sure what happens in shuls of Edut HaMizrach, but my father, and I heard years later that my uncle, Yosef Meir Soloveitchik, they were makbid that if there was no Yisrael Kohen in shul, the first person to get an aliyah would be Yisrael. And remember that my father was a Levi, which meant that he basically knocked out any of his family from having an aliyah if there was no Kohen in shul. And the question is, we have to understand what is the explanation behind the shita, the first sheet in Rashi. And I heard from, and maybe I think I heard B'Shem, my uncle Shachter, said this over, but the idea is because we have to understand very well what the train of Kedusha is, okay? And we know the Kohen is on the highest level in a certain aspect. And then comes the Levi, and then comes Yisrael. They all have certain duties and abilities and tasks to do. It says, however, if there is no Kohen, we should never think that a Levi jumps to the highest level in that respect. And for that reason, we don't want to give a Levi Rishon, because then you might think that when there's no Kohen, a Levi takes the place. Which means that it's very important to all the time to understand what is what. What is the Kedusha, you know, what is considered holy and what's holier, and we have to understand everything. And this is an idea I heard from my father. He once said it's very important to know what's Achi of Diraisa, what's Achi of Derabanan, what's a real minhag, what's a minhag except by certain people. It's very important to understand everything that we do. And let's say, for example, when people go ahead and people say, I mentioned this again, that Purim is the holiest day of the week of the year, that might be based on the Rizal, but we know that Chazal tell us, depending how holy a certain day of the year is, so that depends how many aliyahs you have. So the same thing, Yom HaTzmut, is a very special day. It's a day to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the fact that now we are able to, we have a state, we can live here, we can live in safety and security, and we know that, you know, whatever issues we might have with the government, we know that they're on top of things, and that's a wonderful, wonderful, that's wonderful for all of us. It's wonderful for all of us. However, we have to know it's not a day of Kedusha, because Kedusha is granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just like Hanukkah doesn't have Kedushas Hayom, and Purim doesn't have Kedushas Hayom, Yom HaTzimut also does not have Kedushas Hayom. There's no sanctity for the day. It's a day, and as opposed to Purim, which is the day of doing mitzvot, it's a day to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this great present that we have. This great present that we have. And the truth is, you should know that you should know that if we go ahead, and I would say, by the way, that if we go ahead, it's not the first time in our history that there was a lot of confusion about a certain day. Okay? And you'll see I'm going to be quoting a lot of psukim, but it seems that when Purim first started, there was a lot of confusion what Purim should be until Chazal set the record straight. By the way, we see we have the same confusion today because people are saying things about Purim also. So if you look at source number 6, this is from Megillas Esther, and it's always important to look at Tanakh, to understand Tanakh, because remember, all of Tanakh is written Ruach HaKodesh. So if we understand, want to understand, or try to understand what God wants, it's very important to look at Tanakh. So if you look that when after the Nes Purim and Esther Perikes, it says, Al-Kain ha-Yehudim ha-Prazim ha-Yoshim bari ha-Prazos. So the Jews in the open cities, who they would go ahead and they would make the 14th day of Adar a day of Simcha Mishta V'Yontov. So we see that when they went ahead and they started to go ahead and they started to celebrate Purim, the people at that time, the Jews, they want to make a day of Yontif. That was a day of Yontif. So he says, however, what happened? And then Mordechai went ahead and he wrote down, and it could be it was in discussion with Chazal. You look at Pasuk Kabbalah. L'kayim aleyem liyot osim es yom arbasar l'chodesh adar es yom chamisha asar bo b'chol shana shana. Pasuk Chavek, the days the Jews rested, the days that switched from pain to Simcha, from mourning to Yontif, Laso Sosam, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, U'Mishloach Manot, Ish L'Reyehu, U'Matanot Lev Yonim. And what they made it was, is they made it days of Mishta V'Simcha, sending Shloach Manos, going ahead and giving presents to the poor. But they did not make it days of Yontif. And the question is, why didn't they make it days of Yontif? Why was it, what happened in the end? So it's fascinating. If you look, the Perush of the Nesivos on Megillas Esther, it's not on the Daf Makarot, but he says the reason when they first started, the Jews thought, and we'll go back to the Sfat Emet in a second, that this was sort of like the beginning of building the Beit HaMikdash. There was something very holy that went ahead and happened here. And therefore, because of something holy, something to do with spirituality, they wanted to go ahead and they wanted to make a Yontif. But the Chacham in that time, and that's why they made a Yontif at first. Very special. As a matter of fact, if you go back to source number 5 for 1 second, in source number 5, we have the Svat Emes, and this very, very important source number 5, because just go, you can go ahead and go bring the Daf Makaros down a little bit, so I see source number 5. So the Svat Emes says, Inyan Hayantav Tepurim, it was a Hachana Lebinyan Bayit Sheni, it was a preparation to build the second base of Mikdash. So he says that they thought that they were going to go ahead and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There was that possibility. And why was it? Because he's Achdus Bnei Yisrael Ba'atzmam. He says that the Bnei Yisrael got together and they found a Koach Halakut and a Koach Torah Shebal Peh. In the end, it wasn't a Yontif, okay? In the end, maybe it somehow, we know it did not bring the building of the Bayis Sheni. I mean, it did, but it didn't strengthen the building of the Bayis Sheni, whatever happened. But that's why they wanted to make it, because in other words, in order for a day to have Kedusha, it has to be endowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also it has to be a day of endowed Kedusha. And by the way, even Hanukkah, Rosh Hanukkah was a holiday to go ahead and to that we're able now, celebrating the fact that we're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even that day did not become a holiday. Even that day did not become a holiday where we were able to go ahead and have Kedusha, okay? Because it was a day more that we were saved from our oppressors, didn't let us keep Torah mitzvahs. But they saw Purim as a day to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the beginning of building the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they wanted down as a yontif. And in the end, we see what happened. The Chachamim themselves said, no. At the end, they said, it can be they Mishta V'Simcha, it can be Mishloach Manachon Slav Yonim, but it's not a day of Kedusha, we're not going to call it a yontif. So therefore, we have to look, certainly, Kal V'Chomer, but Yom HaTzmut. So we have to look at Yom HaTzmut as that type of day. It's not a day of Kedusha. It's a day where we are supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the great present that he gave us, that we can live in security, and we can live in Eretz Yisrael, and we can come to, people can come to Eretz Yisrael. But I would just point out that just like Purim had tremendous potential, and even though Baruch Hashem, we still celebrate Purim because Am Yisrael was saved, we know, and it was a hachan of Bini Beit HaMikdash, we know that unfortunately in the end, this Yeshua of having a Beis HaMikdash did not last, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, but for whatever reason, without speaking about it, and I might mention more a little bit later why, we didn't capitalize on this opportunity. And there was definitely a Churban Beit HaMikdash. So the same idea, and I would just add that even times of the Bayit Sheni, things got better. Just because things get better does not mean they're going to stay better. It's very important to keep this in mind. The Gemara Masechet Brachot speaks about the fact that the Jewish people, when they first came back to Eretz Israel, they couldn't afford to make Havdalah on wine. Then it got better economically, then it got worse. So I'm saying is, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Israel, we see things get better and improve every year. We're moving up and up. But still, just like during the time of the Bayis Sheni, it was up to Am Yisrael to go ahead, and it was up to Am Yisrael to go ahead and to capitalize and build. It's up to us now. It's a great present that we have. So what I'd like to talk about today is to understand what is special. If we speak about Yom Medinat Yisrael being, whether you want to call it the beginning of the redemption, or you want to call it, like my father would call it, and I like that expression much more, the mafteach, the key to the redemption, that we can open up the redemption. Let's try to understand what makes, in terms of thanking God and seeing something special, what really makes Medinat Yisrael special, okay? In other words, what makes it different that, let's say, for example, when there was a revival of Judaism in Tzfas during the time of the Spanish Inquisition, where Jews were able to live in Tzfas and they were able to live comfortably in Tzfas, maybe. What makes Medinat Yisrael so different than that? That's the question I want to ask. And maybe it seems obvious, but a lot of times it's very important to discuss and to review and understand what's obvious. So I was looking at years ago, the Kol HaTor and by Rav Kasher, and he had there a lot of, I would say, the paraphernalia, that was distributed in the 50s. You know, it's fascinating that in the late 40s, 50s, it seems that the whole world, when I say the whole world, the whole Jewish world, with one exception, really was connected to Medinat Yisrael in a very serious way. And they saw Medinat Yisrael as being something very special. And they really heard the Gula. My father told me that he said in 1948, he said that really everyone saw Medinat Yisrael as being the harbinger, the introduction to something very good. He said to me, he told me the only one that was really did not see that was the Sadma Rebbe Zichrono Levracha. But everyone else saw that. Everybody else saw that. Everyone else. And I saw something I would call a Pashkevil, but then, at that time when there was one religious party and they wanted all the religious Jews to vote religious parties so we can have representation in the Knesset. So it was everyone together. And there were great names in the Haredi world I don't have it in front of me. I didn't look, but I remember that time seeing Shlomo Zalman Orbach's name signed it.
And the word they used was the Nitzon Nitzune Geula, that they see the sproutings of the Geula, which you should know if you look at source number 7 from Shir HaShirim. He says, what is Nitzunim Ne'arex? He says, what does it mean? So he says, you know, you see things sprouting. That's El Yom Melech Mashiach. Eis HaZomir Higia. Eis Higia Zman Shalashorim Shishaberu. The time has come for the wicked to be broken. He says, and he goes on. He says, and he goes on. The gives manim that the mechamis arisha should drink the kosher ta'ela. At the very end, he gives manim shemalchus shemayim shtegala. The time has come for the malchus shemayim to be revealed, to go ahead and be revealed. So in other words, they spoke about nitzune geula, that they saw things sprouting. It was very, something very special. And if you want to understand what Yom HaTzimut is, that's what it is. It celebrates something. Besides the fact we live in Eretz Yisrael, which is something very special, but there's something in the ear. There's something in the ear, as I say. So I'd like to start with a question about the Shalosh Shavuos. I'm not going to speak about the fact, even though that is a question, but the major point is not to speak about the fact, the Shalosh Shavuos, how can we take Eretz Yisrael? But everyone knows that there's a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos that it says Hishpati Eschem, which symbolized in Shir HaShirim a few times, and the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that symbolizes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Jews to swear in order to through Shavuos. One shvua was that the Jewish people should not rebel against Umos HaOlam. That's one shvua. They should not rebel. The second school is that they should not yalu kachoma, go up like a wall to Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to translate for now in one shot, many people, like a wall. And he says, and then the third one was the Jewish peoples, the non-Jews should not oppress the Jews more than necessary. Which the Maharshim explained it means because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want the Jews to do tshuva because they're oppressed. So therefore, he says, he doesn't want the non-Jews to oppress the Jews more than necessary. And we know during the Holocaust, we were oppressed more than necessary. But that's not the point. And many people ask the question, well, if that's the case, and this is the time of the Samar Hasidim, how can we go ahead and take Medinas Yisrael? After all, that means we're rebelling against Numas Olam. We're going up Kechoma. We're going up like a wall. And it's against the Shalosh Shavuos. And there are many, many answers. And I think the basic answer, and this is a very important answer, is this is an agadata. Okay, what it means in agadata is Gemara is not quoted in the halacha. It's not quoted in the halacha. And there's a concept we have in poskim, the agadata, you don't poskim based on agadata. Agadata is there to give a certain idea, a certain hashkafa, and it's Torah Hashem, it's very important. But once it's agadata, there's obviously something deeper going on. For example, there is a Gemara. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says you're not supposed to sing psukim, songs based on psukim shir shirim. And Rishonim, it means any type of pasuk. But we have so many psukim songs based on psukim and even shir shirim. And the question is, how can it be mutter? So emotion, we know emotion finds in Zechariah Levracha takes a very extreme approach to it. But the bottom line is all of Klal Yisrael sing songs based on psukim. And the Tzitz Eliezer, I think the Stipe Paskin is okay. Tzitz Eliezer says very simply, Ein Poskim Agadatot. This Gemara is an Agadatot. And therefore, since it's an Agadatot, we have to understand that we don't Paskin Halacha. Okay, however, even though we don't Paskin Halacha, we have to understand the idea, the message behind this Gemara. So in order to understand this Gemara, I want to go through another Gemara, Maseches Yuma. Okay? And the Gemara Maseches Yuma says like this. So source number 9, Resh Lakish Havisachi Biyardima. Resh Lakish, Daf Kesem Beis, Resh Lakish was swimming in the Jordan River. Asa Rabbi Bar Chanan Inana, Rabbi Bar Chanan, who came to Yisrael, came, Yod Le Yod, and gave him his hand. So Amar Lai said to him, I guess I'll call, Sanina Lachu, God hates you. He says, why? He says, I hate you. He says, why? Because you lived in Babel, and you Babylonians, when you had an opportunity to come to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Ezra, you did not come. That's what he says. At the time, you had an opportunity to come there all the time. Ezra did not come. And I guess where Shlokas, Rava Bar Bachana symbolized those Babylonians did not come. It says, in Sikhsiv Mchomehi, he says, if you come up as a wall, Nimla Tiras Kesef, I'll build for you. Made up out of silver. Mindelasi Nortalem, you come up as a door. He says, if you come as a door, Nortalem Luach Erez, it won't be out of silver, it'll be something from Erez. He says, if you had come up, he says, if you had come in the days of Ezra like a wall, which you didn't come up, so few Jews came up in the days of Ezra, then you would have been like Kesef. And what happens to Kesef? Kesef does not rot. Silver does not rot. But now that you came like doors, little by little, not in one big shot. He says, and because of that, Eretz Yisrael was like Erez, we rotted away. And what was the taina that Rish Lakish had against Rav Avraham and the Babylonians? You didn't come up like a choma. You came up little by little. So let's try to understand. On one hand, there's a Gemara that says that you're not supposed to come up like a choma. That's a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. And then Rish Lakish is questioning Rav Avraham and the Babylonians did not come up like a choma. So we have to, he says, so what's the answer? Why was Rish Lakish so upset at Rav Barchana? If you look at source number 10, this is the Marsha and the Seches Yuma. The source number 10, Marsha and Seches Yuma says, is because that if the Jewish people, they needed the Choma in the days of Yerushalayim and Ezra. Why? Because a lot of people did not come up. And there were very few people, the Shomer, to watch themselves against the enemies about a choma. He says, and the Gemara, the Pasuk tells us they would have to go ahead and build the walls with one hand and have a weapon in the other hand. They didn't have enough strength. So he says, and if the Jews had come up at that time like a wall, so he wouldn't have needed, he says, we wouldn't have needed a wall. We would have been like Kesef. If there's no wreck, nothing rotted away, it would have been Nevuah, would we have Nevuah? But now that you didn't come up then, so we need a wall to watch out for our enemies, he says, and the few that came up, he says, they had lent themselves like doors just to watch a Pischa ear, and we don't have Nevuah. And he says, and this is your fault. And the end of Marsha quotes that it's fascinating. That, and we'll come back to this Marsha that on Ad Yavoram Hashem, he says, Ad Yavoram to Kanisa. So we compare the first Bia to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua to the second Bia to the Jews in the days of Ezra. It says that what happened? That the Marsha says, explains this, that if the Jewish people had come up the proper way during the time of Ezra, then what would have happened would have been the same miracles, type of things Yeshua would happen for them. But what happened? We didn't have a war, we didn't all come up. So the same thing we weren't supposed to do. The last 2,000 years, Rish Lakish went ahead and questioned the Babylonians, and they did not do that before that. So he'll tell me, hold on, maybe, which is true, there are different time periods, okay? However, this message of not being Ola Kachoma, this message, you should know, existed from the time the Jews were in the Midbar. The idea of not coming up like a wall existed from the time the Jews were in the Midbar, from that time, okay? It wasn't something that just began from the days of the Churban Bayis Sheni. But this is something, this idea of Olam HaChoma was something which existed from the time the Jews were in the desert. And if you go and you look, you go to source number 11, go down to the next page. Source number 11 is the Hebrew translation of the Targum and Shira Shirim. Okay, Hebrew Targum and Shira Shirim. I found the Sefer on HebrewBooks.org. I was looking for a nice print to go ahead to have the Targum in Hebrew and the Psukim of Yishbati in the second parak, and another parak. He says. So after what happened, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told, after Moshe said to the Nevuah to send Meraglim, he says, and then when the Meraglim came back, you look, the Meraglim came back and they came out with a bad report of Eretz Yisrael. and they stayed in the Midbar for 40 years. As we know, there were Jews. There were Jews who, bottom line, had, you know, really loved Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, really, that's what they thought about. They said, this is ridiculous. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael now. So us, if you look at the third line there, us, Pasach, Moshe, Spiv, Moshe opened his mouth, B'chein Amar, and he said, Hishbati Eschem B'nei Yisrael. I promise you, B'nei Yisrael, B'Hashem Tzvakos, Uvatani Eretz Yisrael, Shelo Tazidu Lalos Eretz Kinaan, Achin Lavni Hashem. Don't go to Eretz Yisrael until HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you. B'yichle kol ador anshel mochama, Lomvis B'machaneh. And he says, he gives us an example. He says, you know, when the Jews were in Egypt, even in Egypt, of all the hard work and all the suffering, there were Jews that wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to. And B'nai Ephraim wanted to go 30 years before. And what happened? They fell in the hands of the Plishtim and Eretz Gat, and they killed them. And the Emory says, wait until the 40 years are up. Okay? Fine. So this was already a message that was given to the Jews in the Dora Midbar. But if you go ahead and you look at plus the next one, I believe it's a later parak, it's fascinating. Another Hishvati. Listen to this, and we'll have to come back to this. Please remember this. Kasher shamu shiva sa'anim, when the seven nations heard, ki b'nei Yisrael atitim liyaris is artsam, that the Jews are going to inherit their land, kamu kish echad. What did they do? They didn't want the Jews to come into a good land. The Canaanim got up, the Kutches, the Ilanos, they cut up the trees, the Sachem, the Mayim, and they closed up the Mayanot, the springs of water, and they made the cities desolate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Anochi hiftachti l'avoseyem l'havi es neres erzav l'vash. I promised your forefathers, the forefathers of Am Yisrael, bring the Jews into a land flung with milk and honey. Right now, it's not a land flung with honey. But Asha, the obvious, Nahem, Eretz, Shomayim, Mavareka. I'm going to bring the Jews to a land that is desolate and empty. I'm going to keep them 40 years in the Midbar. Okay? So even though they were 40 years in the Midbar because of the Chet HaMeraglim, there was another reason. Okay? How we work that out, I don't really know. But I think there's a very important message here. We'll come back at the end of the year to this message. So I'm going to keep them 40 years in Midbar, and it won't be a waste. They're going to learn Torah. With these 40 years, the Canaan and the Rishayim will rule what the Midbar will destroy. And he says, and that's what Moshe said. He says, Moshe said to Am Yisrael, and it could be maybe at that time the Jews had done tshuva and they really felt very bad, and Hashem said, still no, you can't go. And this is another reason why. He says, Yishvati yotcha k'nes Yisrael v'Hashem tzvakos u'v'gdol Eretz Yisrael, that you should not go ahead and go to Eretz Canaan until the 40 years are up. He says, and then I will give the land into your hands. So in other words, we see that there's a promise, Liyalu Kachoma, that the Jewish people should not go to Eretz Yisrael as a Choma, which for two reasons, they deserve to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the land was not ready then. So let's try, if we can go down to the next part of the Daf Makoros, let's try, so he says, so let's try to understand the source number 12, let's try to understand what really happened. So, you know, he says, if we go ahead here I have from Yeshua, Gokutna, Yeshua's Malka. So he says, you know, that even though living in Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, he says, Yeshua Malka points out that something special was going on. What does it mean something special was going on in this time? And this is the time of the Chol Hamoed Sion. He says there was a great desire that overtook the Jewish people to go into Eretz Yisrael, a great desire. And by the way, this desire that overtook the Jewish people to go into Eretz Yisrael was not limited and probably was taken over more by those who were not as intensely religious, I would say. All right? And I once heard in the history class, you know, Moses Mendelssohn, so he translated the Bible, I guess, into German. I'm not sure he says, and that caused the German Jews to assimilate. But he wrote the Be'er on the Bible, that helped the Polish Jews, who maybe were not as connected, to connect to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shmuel Kutna says, he says, you go and look at the last few lines, he says, Prat Ata Shireinu, Shehachuka Hagdola, Haim Banosh Bhuse Erech, Haim Biyavam, Lenin, Haim Bishabulusam, Karab Lavada, he says, you see such a desire overtaking Jewish people. I don't think we can understand this desire to take Jewish people that overtook the Jewish people in Europe at that time to go to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s. I have to tell you, I was telling one of my kids a few weeks ago, if I was sitting around with my child in 1900 at the Shabbos table, and my child would say to me, Abba, I'm going to Israel, I'm going to raise my family in Israel, I would have said, you're crazy, what are you doing in Israel? What's going on there? But there was such a desire that overtook. And Rabbi Shmuel Kutna says, then itself is a sign of the Geula. What is he saying? What he's saying is like this. If we want to know, understand, how could it be that the Gemara says that the Jewish people should not be Yalek Chom and not take Israel as a force? He says, what's the idea? Ideas like this, okay? It's not a halacha. Gemara's giving us advice. And the Gemara's telling Jewish people, if you are living in Golos, be smart. That's the most important thing. What does it mean to be smart? Well, every generation, every time period, every year, every day, there's a different hagdar of what it means to be smart. As the Kli Yakar said, it's fascinating, Kli Yakar. When the Jewish people build big houses in the Chutz Laaretz, they're not being smart. When a Jewish person goes ahead and a Jewish person decides to be openly against the government in Golos, it's not very smart. I was listening, Baruch Hashem, I have the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael. I was listening at one of the, actually, at the conventions in America, I was listening, talking about anti-Semitism in America. And someone says, when did the Jews become so stupid and silly that they feel they can speak openly against the government? And, you know, it's so belated, so clear that they're speaking against it. A person has to be smart. Shula Kutna is saying, basically here is, that what's the Gemara telling us? Lo yalu chachoma, lo yimredu. It means it's time to be smart. And when it's time to be smart, that's how you decide what to do. For example, when the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto started the rebellion against the Nazis, the Gemara says lo yimredu, don't rebel. Of course, don't rebel. But there is a time to rebel, and they did the right thing rebelling at that time in the Warsaw Ghetto. You have to be smart, look at the times. And the Bishul Kutna says, if for 1800 years, the Jewish people cannot be Yalek Kachoma, because it was crazy, nothing would have happened, they would have failed. Now it's clear, he says, that we see the Simani Geula. And what are the Simani Geula? The Simani Geula are that something has overtaken the Jewish people, that the Jewish people would be able somehow or another to come to their soul. Those desires overtook them, that inflamed them. It was tremendous, tremendous. My mother, who grew up in a small, I can imagine my mother's family, except for me saying this, but I understand that this town of Ritava, where she grew up, was a backwater town. She was inflamed by it. She was inflamed. She said it overtook everything. Overtook everything. This was the sin of the Geula. And this is what Shula Kutna is saying, is that the Shalosh Shavuos did not apply for one simple reason, because now it's smart to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now it's time to start rebuilding. And I think what you see is, and this is maybe what Rosh Lakish said, Rabbi Bar Bachana. Yes, there's such a concept of Yalu Kachoma. And maybe the Jewish people right now, in the days of Rosh Lakish, when the Romans and the Byzantines were ruling over Eretz Yisrael, it was not a smart time for Jews Yalu Kachoma. But you Babylonians, you symbolize a time when people did not read the Simani Geula, did not see. What was a greater sign than Ezra, than Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, than Zerubbabel, and all those great leaders coming and saying, go to Eretz Yisrael, come follow us. You're supposed to read the sign. And if there was a time you weren't supposed to be Yalu Kachoma, that was the time. And if we're taking advantage of it, that great things would have happened. And this could have happened during the time of the whole Bayis Sheni. But you guys missed the boat. You didn't read the signs and understand what was going on. You felt it's more important to stay in Babel because of the Torah that was going on there. But you missed the boat. And I would say that there are so many signs of the Geula that something's better, something's very special. There's something really going on. And it's our obligation to go ahead and to see those signs. If you go ahead and you look, and this is something which, you know, my mother said this all the time. She's done it all the time. He says, if you go and you look, source number 13 of Pasuk Yecheskel. There's no greater cate than this, than seeing the fruits, the trees, everything, everybody give off. You know, when, forgive me for saying this, when the Arabs say that they were in Israel for so many years, that's a lie. They only started coming back when the Jews started coming back, because the Jews started coming back at that time. It was the Simane Geula. They saw things started to grow again. Was unbelievable. And this was clear already from the beginning of the 1900s. If you understand what was going on in Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s, the 1900s made such a difference. And it's time to go ahead and to see the Simane Geula. That's the idea. Something is beginning. Something is very special. Something's very special. You know, if you look at source number 14 and 15, so Nitziv, which some people argue, but the idea he says is a fantastic idea. So in the Tochacha of Parshas V'Chukosai, in that Tochacha of Parshas V'Chukosai, the Torah tells us that Hashem says, Nesati es areichem chorva v'ashimos m'tasheichem, I'll make it destroyed, your temple will be desolate, v'lo ariach reach nichokhochem. I will not benefit from Reach Nichokhechem. And then Tim says, what is telling us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, when we are in a state of korban, don't be mocked with korbanot. Don't be mocked with korbanot. He says, I don't want your korbanot when you were in a state of korban. So then Tim asks the question, is that true? We know there was a mizbeach, there was a makum mizbeach. Even after the Zman of the Korban. After all, there were Jews who would be mocked with the Korban Pesach after the Korban Bayis Sheni. And how do we know that? Because the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us in the second parak that the Jewish, the Gemara tells us in the second Sanhedrin the first parak, that when they were, after the Korban, when they were going ahead and they were deciding whether to make Chodesh Adar into a leap year, they took in the cheshbon about whether or not they'd be able to make the Korban Pesach. It was after the destruction of the temple. So it was after the destruction of the temple. Why did they go ahead and why did they care about the Korban Pesach? Because they were mocking korbanos. And the Tziv asks, but how did they mock korbanos? We're in a state of korban. And the Tziv explains, because the one korban where the word reyach nichoach does not exist is by the Korban Pesach. So therefore, the Korban Pesach we're allowed to have, even when we're in a state of Korban, as long as you have a Makom Mizbeach, you know what you can sacrifice, without getting into the halachic issues behind it. It's not a Korban Pesach shir. But what Nitziv does say is the rest of the Korbanos, you can't be Makom in a state of Korban. Why not? You have to go ahead and have a Beis HaMikdash. However, there is a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that we know that when the Jewish people came to build the second Beis HaMikdash, before they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they were Matan Korbanos. If you look at source number 16, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rava Bar Bachar Yochanan Shlosh Neviim Olu Imahem Min HaGola. So he says that what happened was three Neviim came up from the Galut. Echod Shehayid Lohem Al Mizbeach. One Navi. So three Neviim came with the Jews up from Babel, and they gave the Jews very important information. One, this is, Gemara doesn't tell us who the Neviim were. One was Meid on the Mizbeach, which Mefarshim explained to make the Mizbeach a little bigger. The Echod Shehayid Lohem, and one told them, Makom Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach is. They know where the Makom Mizbeach is. And the third was Meyid, that you can be makrib even if there is no Beis HaMikdash. And if you go ahead, even there's no Beis HaMikdash. So we know, and then the Gemara goes on, other things in the Bia might have told them. What do you mean? According to Nitzim, you can't be makrib in your state of Chorbin. You can't be makrib, a Korbin. So what do you mean they were makrib even though there was no Beis HaMikdash? So the truth is, so at that time, we know that because of the Kusim, again, the Bayesheni, we know that the Jewish people of that time the Jewish people of that time were machin the korbanos even when there was no Beis HaMikdash, even when the Kusim stopped the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There's a whole story in Megillas Esther based on Midrashi Chazal that Haman, when he came to take Mordechai to the parade, and he said to Mordechai, what are you learning about? And he said, the Machzor Shekel. He says, your Machzor Shekel is more powerful than the money that I gave Achashverosh. What Machzor Shekel? Because there were Makrav Korbanos already, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash. So how could they do that according to Nitziv? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when things will be desolate, the lower Riach, Bereach Nichochem, I will not get enough from your Reach Nichochem. You get Makrav Korbanos. And Nitziv says that even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, if you are not in a state of Chorbin, you are allowed to go ahead and be Makrav Korbanos. In other words, we have to recognize there's a Beis HaMikdash and there's a state of Chorbin. It says, and how can you not have a Beis HaMikdash and not be in a state of Chorbin? He says, if the non-Jews who are in charge give you the ability and say, go build the Beis HaMikdash, start on it. And it's fascinating, even though they were told to build the Beis HaMikdash and it was stopped, they continued being Machav Korbanos because they still saw that they were in a state. They were in a state of Gula. They saw the Gula coming. They saw the Beis HaMikdash coming. So if you see it coming through an open sign, realize you're in a state, the beginning of the Gula. You know, embrace it. Let it overtake you. And the Jewish people at the time, at the beginning of the building of the first temple, what they saw, they understood, they saw, wow, something very special is coming, even though there were bumps in the road. And if you want to understand, and the truth is, without talking about the halachic issues, I have to tell you that if the Knesset, I guess they're the ones in charge right now, they would vote, it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk theoretically. We could start being Machav Korbanos according to all Korbanos according to the Nitziv. Because then we see the next step in seeing the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Seeing the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? There's a state where maybe we're not in the Gula yet, but we see the Gula coming. That's the idea. We see the Gula coming. And if you want to understand what for me Medinas Yisrael is, it's you see the Gula coming, you feel it, and it makes you feel better. You know, I thought of this Nitziv recently because, you know, as we were going through this terrible pandemic of the corona, so remember when we decided in my shul to close the shul down, at that point I said, I'm not going to have any minyanim. I'm not going to have any minyanim because to make a little plug. And then after Pesach, when I guess it was last Sunday, a week and a half ago, when the government decided to allow minyanim under 19 people with face masks in a shetach patuach, you know, for the benefit of, for example, my children who would go to minyan and decided to start a minyan in my parking lot or on the roof of my building, you know, with less than 19 people. There were a few times, mincha and shav, two or three times you had to divide up because a few more came, but in general, you kept that way. And someone asked me, but I thought you wanted to make a little plug and say no minyanim. So I pointed out, he says, that was when we were on the way down. But now we're trying to get back to, I don't want to call it normal, but we're trying to break into something, a more normal routine where we're trying to get back together. And there's a way to do it with face masks, with hanchayot. But I could be wrong. It could be things will change if people don't keep the hanchayot. But I'm feeling better about it. And therefore, it's time to start. And what Medina Yisrael means is that it's time to smell and to feel something's getting better, that it has never been so good for the Jewish people. And yes, just like in the time of Vayesheni, there were bumps in the road, there are bumps in the road now. We feel things, but then things come back. You know, I just walk around and see what's going on and understand there are so many things, you know. And the truth is, to say this way, it seems like because of this virus, one of the safest places in the world to be is in Eretz Yisrael. So we see so many things going on, so many things that are clear, and we have to go ahead and we have to see the clarity and feel it. Just to finish off with 2 points, there's Yerushalmi. It's a Gemara Maseches Brachos also. Gemara talks about seeing the Chama B'Tkufasa. When you see the Chama B'Tkufasa, so you make a Bracha Osamasa Bracious. The way most Rishonim explain it is that every 28 years, the sun gets back to its place where it was at Maisa Bereshis, and you make it also Maisa Bereshis. And, you know, I think the biggest bracha everyone says when they go ahead and they quote because of Chama, I bit the two with Mirta Shem, we should see each other in the next one. It's a milestone. However, he says, Yerushalmi says something different, a different shot from Yerushalmi. And some Rishonim go ahead and they explain the badly based on Yerushalmi, source number 17. Haroe Sachamit Kufasa, that's the Levanavit Kufasa, is Rakiya Vitahara. You see the sun in the strongest spot, you see the moon in the strongest spot, and the Rakiya, the firmament. Omer Baruch Oseparatius. What does that mean? Amar Rav Huna Hadad Tamar. It only happens in the rainy season after 3 days of rain. In other words, after 3 days of rain, the sky clears. There is nothing as clear as that. You see, wow, this is amazing. And this is actually in source 18. This is finishing off the pasuk. This is actually what? Eov. When in Sefer Eov, when Eov's friends came to give Eov Mutzer, so finally a fourth person came at the end. And he said, you guys missed the whole message here. And the pasuk, which the whole message is, Atah lo ro'u or bahir, hu bashchakim, ruach har v'tarim, you didn't see the clear light with the clouds, and then the wind came and made it pure. In other words, sometimes things come and say, wow, this is amazing. You know, the truth is that the Geula began at the time of the Churban. And that's what we say in the Bracha Bonei Yerushalayim, that God builds Yerushalayim. And this Bracha was said throughout the worst parts of our Golus. God is building. But there's a certain point where it became clear. And the point where it became clear, we have to thank Hashem, first of all, of course, for the schus that we are living in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question. And we can live here securely and safely. And whatever is going on here, you know, I can tell you that I definitely, you know, for example, during regular times, my kids can go out and walk on Friday night, and I'm not concerned about it. I remember as a child, and I regret it till now, when I would go to yeshiva and learn Friday night and come home at who knows what time. And I worried my father about it. I remember one time he said to me, Chaim, he said to me, don't go to yeshiva, I'll learn with you. It was a tremendous opportunity. So I took it. And I feel bad that I did that because he was worried about me when I was outside. But here in Eretz Yisrael, in most cities, we have to worry about it on a Friday night. Yeah, it's a tremendous chus for that also. But it goes much deeper, and I'll explain to you why it goes much deeper. It goes much deeper because we can capitalize this opportunity. So we see Shira because it's not just that we're safe, we see the beginning of the Geula. And just like Rish Lakish went ahead and said, Rav Rachana, if you guys had capitalized and you guys had seen the Simoni Geula, we could have brought more, we'd be in a better spot today. That's what Rish Lakish told Rav Rachana. And you didn't come, and because of that, I have a problem with you guys. He says, I want you to know. He says, we are in the same position. We have to capitalize. And obviously, I think most of us who listen to the Shir are living in Eretz Yisrael because it's the middle of night in Chutz Laretz. But it's not just a message for people in Chutz Laretz. We have to capitalize here. We have to see. We have to build. I'll finish off with one more Maimer Chazal. There's none in Daf Makoros. Maimer Chazal goes like this. That the question was asked, the bones of Yecheskel, the Yecheskel saw, what did they do? And the Gemara says that what they did is, that he says, they. So what happened was, what happened is that the bones of Yecheskel, what did they do? It says they sang Shira. And then one monitor says they went to Eretz Israel and they raised families. It's the singing Shira for the nation that happened, which impelled them and forced them to go ahead and to build families. So when we sing Shira and Yom HaTzimut for the fact that we're living here and for the fact that we see the signs of the Geula, it pushes us to do more for the Geula, to really move on. And that's why Yom HaTzimut is so important. Yom HaTzimut is not just a day to thank God we live in Eretz Israel. Yom HaTzimut is a day where we thank God, we take time to realize that He gave us the Simoni Gula. We see the Gula in a very strong way. The fact that Jews want to live in Eretz Israel, the fact that the land is growing, the fact that we are secure, that is Yom HaTzimut. And saying Shira on this day will impel us and force us as the Atzama Shevashis to get up and be in Eretz Israel and to go ahead and to build in Eretz Israel. And we go ahead and we do that. We will capitalize on this great gift of the Simoni Gula, and we should bring the Gula Shleima, and we should try to somehow work towards those things that will bring people back to Eretz Israel. Yes, tell people Eretz Israel is the safest place to live. It's clear. It was rated a while ago as the country that's handling the virus the best. This is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us. And if we capitalize on the Simoni Gula, yes, we will not make the same mistake as the Jews in the time of Bayasheni, and we'll bring it to the culmination. And Amir Tashem, at that time, we will see the Binyan Bayashlishi, and we will see the Gula Shlema, and we'll all be able to celebrate together. This is the opportunity HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us. Let's take advantage. I wish everyone a happy Yom HaTzimut, a Chag HaTzimut Sameach. Let's celebrate, let's sing Shira, and let's look forward to much better days. Everyone should stay healthy and well. Have a wonderful day.